They went into the woods, and the man squatted and looked at the gray and wasted figure under the tilted sheet of plywood. "Are these all the blankets you have?" "Yes." "Is that your suitcase?" "Yes." He stood. He looked at the boy. "Why don't you go back out to the road and wait for me? I'll bring everything."
"What about my papa?"
"What about him?"
"We can't just leave him here."
"Yes, we can."
"I don't want people to see him."
"There's no one to see him."
"Will you cover him up with one of the blankets?"
"Yes, I will." "Go on now."
"Okay."
He waited in the road, and when the man came out of the woods, he was carrying the suitcase, and he had the blankets over his shoulder. He sorted through them and handed one to the boy.
"Here," he said, "wrap this around you. You're cold."
The boy tried to hand him the pistol, but he wouldn't take it.
"You hold on to that," he said.
"Okay."
"You know how to shoot it?"
"Yes."
"Okay."
"What about my papa?"
"There's nothing else to be done."
"I think I want to say goodbye to him."
"Will you be all right?"
"Yes."
"Well, go ahead. I'll wait for you."
He walked back into the woods and knelt beside his father. He was wrapped in a blanket, as the man had promised, and the boy didn't uncover him, but he sat beside him, and he was crying, and he couldn't stop. He cried for a long time.
"I'll talk to you every day," he whispered, "and I won't forget, no matter what."
Then he rose and turned and walked back out to the road. The woman, when she saw him, put her arms around him and held him.
"Oh," she said, "I am so glad to see you."
She would talk to him sometimes about God. He tried to talk to God, but the best thing was to talk to his father. And he did talk to him, and he didn't forget. The woman said that was all right. "The breath of God," she said, "is his breath yet, though it pass from man to man through all of time." Once there were brook trout in the streams in the mountains. You could see them standing in the amber current, where the white edges of their fins wimpled softly in the flow. They smelled of moss in your hand, polished and muscular and torsional. On their backs were vermiculate patterns that were maps of the world in its becoming, maps and mazes of a thing which could not be put back, not be made right again. In the deep glens where they lived, all things were older than man, and they hummed of mystery.